Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 7th chapter, the first 14 verses. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Let us first sing from Psalter number 100, the first three stanzas. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do his will. So shalt thou dwell within the land, so shalt thou dwell within the land, and he thy needs shall fill. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 100.
congregation, let us first read the Ten Commandments according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Matthew 7, 1 through 14. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that man should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Thus for the reading.
Congregation, we announce to you this morning that Elder Martin Niels feels compelled for personal reasons to lay down his office. I'd like to speak just for a few moments to Mr. Niels. Mr. Niels, for 16 years, you have been given by the Lord to serve in the office. And to us who have been given to work with you, also myself in these last years, then it is very evident that you have done your work in this office with the love of your heart. It was very evident that you were very willing to give yourself very much to this office. Then there was never a time that I can remember that you have been backward to this work, that you have given yourself to the house visitation, to the reading, to the labors, and I think in a special way of the group in Calgary and the work that you have done in the bulletin, and also for myself in taking over the seniors' mornings, then it seems that there was never for you too much. And naturally, in all these things, you are going to be sorely missed. The Lord, however, knows what is living in your heart, what your reasons are, what your circumstances are, and what it is for your own personal health, your family, and what other reasons that there are. On behalf of the consistory and on behalf of the entire congregation, we would like to very wholeheartedly express our thanks to you for all the work that you have done, and we hope that the Lord may go with you and that his favor may be upon the decision that you had to make, and that you may receive the blessing of the Lord. Congregation, let us try to pray. Almighty and eternal God, thou who knowest all things also, all the circumstances of this our brother, who has felt the need in this time after a consideration for some time, already to now lay down his office. Lord, that thou may look upon him in all the needs and the wants and the cares that there are in his heart and also in his family and in his life. And could it please thee to go with him, to bless him, to remember him for the needs of body and soul together. Remember also his wife. For she also has given herself when she has given her husband over to this to his many labors. Wilt thou look upon them together now in the future? And could it please thee also to remember us as a consistory for those labors which he has performed? They will now lie also upon us. Could it please thee to give yet a man in the future that may do this labor, and that thou may give what is necessary to do all the work of our hands for the sake of this our flock, over which thou hast made us overseers? And may it be that we each and all together on our journey to that great eternity and may be instructed from above in that one thing that is needful. Thou givest unto us thy institutions. Thou still sparest us in our life. And thou givest unto us thy holy day, and we may acknowledge thee for thy sparing hand over each and every one of us to this moment, to wake us safely in this morning hour, to give us to see the light of a new day, and to give us the opportunity to again assemble round about thy word and thy everlasting testimony. Lord, we beseech thee, without whom we can do nothing, to look upon us also in this morning hour, when we may set aside for a day all the labors of our hands, that we may consider in this morning once again from where we have come and to where we are going in our life, how that we have been created, how deeply that we have fallen, and of that redemption and salvation that thou dost proclaim unto us in thy holy word, for which we will have to give an account on that great day of days, so that our responsibility and our accountability that is increasing day by day and Sabbath by Sabbath, oh, that it may not be unto us a savor of death unto death, that we would be beaten with many stripes, having known the way and not walked therein. Oh, that it may not be. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in thee have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they had repented long ago in dust and in ashes. O Lord, give that thy word indeed may be a savor of life unto life, and that there may not be a hoof left behind of any one of us on our journey to eternity. But Lord, thou knowest how quiet that it is. O, thy spirit goes not out as heretofore, and we can but only look upon ourselves, for we are so conformed to this world, and we are so backward to follow after thee. Oh, we beseech thee, thou God of heaven and of earth, and that thou would stretch forth thy mighty arm, and that thou may look upon us and upon our dear children in this hour, and that thou may have mercy upon us. Oh, to draw us, Lord, from all the wickedness of our hearts, from the deceitfulness of sin, from walking in the ways of vanity, from seeking our happiness here below. For we have heard it in the week gone by, that there is but one comfort in life and in death. Oh, to know that we are not our own, but belong unto our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we cannot miss it on our journey to eternity, but thou alone art able to give it unto us. Oh, we beseech it of thee then, whose arm is almighty, and who is sitting at the right hand of power, oh, unto whom all power is given in heaven and in earth. Oh, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, bless then thy word this day, and cause life to be received from the dead. Oh, that glory may be to thy holy and worthy name, when sinners may be born again, when there may come a smiting upon our breast and a crying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Save us, and we shall be saved. Instruct also thy children, for thou knowest also how quiet that it can be in their life. O then, when thou hast given life, and then it also must be fed, it must be watered. O Lord, we ask of thee
that thou may give also in this day a word that may be for the eating of the meek, that they may be satisfied. Oh, that they may increase and grow up in the knowledge of thee, and that they may receive of thee more and more a little entrance into thy rest. Look upon all the needs in the midst of the congregation, those that are old and ailing, those that are in the nursing home or in their own homes or cared for by their loved ones, when old age has crept upon them, and then it has come over many years. But Lord, thou knowest that it has come also so suddenly, because then it is before that we know it, before that we realize it, that we are old, and that our time that is almost finished here below. And then to know what is necessary, and then still to miss it, Lord, all remember them in the evening of life, and cause that cry yet to go forth as him that was upon that cross, that did say, we indeed justly, or we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, give them that simple cry, Lord, remember me, and that it may also receive an answer from above. Lord, remember the afflicted, those that have difficulties, those that have crosses, that are known to thee, afflictions of the mind, afflictions of the body. Thou knowest where that they are. Remember all that have needs that they cannot share with other persons in this world. Oh, that they may experience that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And wilt thou look on us in this morning when we are called to bring another portion of thy word. Oh, Lord, who is sufficient for these things, for it is thy word. It is a holy word. And who has that insight into the depth of the riches of the knowledge of thee that is sufficient to bring forth things new and old out of thy treasures, O Lord? Could it please thee to help us, strengthen us in our body, strengthen us in our mind, give us the unction of thy Spirit, that it may enter into the hearts of each and every one. Forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings being received, we'll sing from Psalter 121, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. They gained not the land by the edge of the sword. Their own arm to them could no safety afford. But thy right hand saved, and the light of thy face, because of thy favor and wonderful grace. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home. Psalter 121, 2 through 4.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in once again in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, and thereof the 11th verse. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So far, the words of our text. Laboring to enter into God's rest first, that we are called to labor, and second, for what we are called to labor. Laboring to enter into God's rest. First, the fact that we are called to labor. Second, for what we are called to labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We have heard, congregation, what that rest was or is. That is not only that heavenly rest, but also that spiritual rest. For we can never partake of that heavenly rest when we have never known or tasted of that spiritual rest. Isaiah, he says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. That is, that there is no rest, that there is no tranquility. Do you believe that, young people? It cannot be that a man receives true inner rest and peace outside of God. That is impossible. Why? Because we are His creature. Because we were created in His image. We were created in a rest in Him and to rest in Him. And thus, that being the very purpose of our creation, why that we were made, it is impossible that man should receive rest, true rest, in any other way. Or what is it? To be without God in the world. That is, congregation, a miserable person. Even if he has gained the whole world, that is a miserable person. Are there those that experience it also to be so? Paul, he says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It is a great blessing when we may receive a day of rest after a week of labor. That is what the Lord has instituted already in paradise. Before that, our labors were laborious. Before that there have come thorns and thistles in this world, then already at that time, the Lord has instituted a day of rest. But now Paul, he speaks about not laboring and resting, but he speaks about laboring to rest. Thus, he speaks about the end or the goal of that labor, that we are laboring for that very purpose of entering into rest. What do you labor for? Isaiah, he asked that question. Why do you spend your labor for that which satisfieth not? Are you laboring for something that does not satisfy? For what did we labor this past week? Examine it for a moment. For what did you labor, children, young people, fathers, mothers? For what did we labor in this past week? Have we labored and labored and labored because we are hard workers? That is good. That is right. But have we labored for that which does not satisfy? The Lord Jesus, he says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but labor for that meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That is something. What does he say? Paul says there is work to be done. There is work to be done. There is work to be done in order to enter into that rest. You say, I read something else in the Word of God. That was also written by the pen of Paul. When Paul writes to the Ephesians that he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, I read that God is the Alpha. God is the beginning. It is a sovereign work. Is that true? Of course that is true. It is the Word of God. Is this true? Of course it is true. It is the Word of God. Let us labor, therefore. How can we reconcile those things? Congregation, we need reconcile nothing. All we need to do is to believe the Word of God. But soon we hope to commemorate Thanksgiving Day. If the Lord will spare us. And what are we going to do in that day? Well, then we want to acknowledge the Lord. For what? Food, drink, clothing, and all the things that we do not see and notice. Why will we acknowledge Him? Because, well, then we say, yes, they are all gifts of God. Gifts of God. Because we know that we cannot make one seed to grow. Not one. Where is the cause? The cause is in God. That makes every one of those seeds, those little seeds, to sprout. A man is helpless. Helpless. So what did you do all summer? Nothing. I saw different. I saw you busy. I saw those farmers, they were in the fields. Yes, because if you have done nothing, you have also received nothing. Drowsiness that shall clothe a man with rags. And the sluggard, Solomon says, he shall desire, but he will receive nothing. And so what did you do? Well, you did something. You obeyed the voice of the Lord, even in the natural creation and what the Lord has given unto you to know, just as a human being, in the natural revelation. When the Lord did instruct you unto discretion, farmers, and then you see how the Lord works. That if I now will take that seed and make soft that earth, and if I will put that seed into the ground, and if I will give that seed a little bit of water, they are now the conditions wherein the Lord is working in this world. That is the way that men in this world are receiving food and drink. That is the way wherein that the Lord is blessing, that man may receive the gifts. No, we cannot make it to grow. But we have to put that seed in the ground. That is our responsibility. The apostle, he says, that if any will not labor, he will not work, neither should he eat. And now, congregation, Paul says this also about spiritual things. Paul speaks this same way about entering into God's rest. He says that takes labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Does he make us the cause? No, absolutely not. Does he say that man has a free will? Absolutely not. And yet, he says the Lord is commanding us to labor. The Lord Jesus told those men to go work in that vineyard. Thus, when they all had worked in that vineyard, then they received a reward. What kind of a reward was that? That was a reward of grace, not according to their labors, but it was a reward of grace. Everyone has received a penny. And now when Paul, he says, let us labor, therefore, what does that word mean? That word means to endeavor. Endeavor. That word means to exert yourself. That word means to give diligence or to study. Thus, a studious endeavor, an application of the mind. And so we are often reading in the Word of God about the responsibility of man. That he will labor. That he will labor to enter into that rest. Peter, he says, give diligence. Diligence. To make your calling and election sure. The Lord Jesus, he says, strive. Strive to enter in at that straight gate. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is a kingdom that suffereth violence. and it is the violent that are taking it by force. Work out your own salvation, we read, with fear and trembling. Why is it, young people, that Solomon, he says, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Why? Do you know why, children? Because it takes labor. Labor. And that labor is not easy. No, that is very difficult for a person when they are lying on their deathbed or upon their sickbed or when they have become weak or old. Then it is very difficult for a person to labor. And the Lord Jesus, he says that we must ask, and that we must seek, and that we must knock. Is that possible anymore when we are lying upon our deathbed? Hardly. Hardly. And therefore few are receiving it in the end of their life. But do you have any time for this labor when you are young? Any time for that labor? The labor that the Apostle Paul is here speaking about? Oh, we will have time if the Lord comes. If the Lord comes. And if the Lord gives you a need. And if the Lord gives you a desire. That you may enter into that rest when you are young. Then you will have time. Will you finish all your work in this world? Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. It will not be neglected. But you will also be found among those that are laboring to enter in unto his rest. What is that? That is our second thought. And let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. How do we do that? What is that? What do we labor for? Well, last time, then we heard that the apostle, he is giving an example, and he is mentioning that example also in this text. He says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then we know, because we have heard also, the reason that example that the apostle was giving, we have heard the reason that they were not able to enter in. So we heard, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Thus, that was the cause that they could not enter in. And we heard how that unbelief that is also lying in us, and that if it continues to be in us, then certainly we are going to perish. We are going to come short of it. Thus, congregation, that laboring to enter in, that must be a laboring that we may be rid of unbelief, to be rid of it. Have you a desire in your heart to be rid of unbelief? Is unbelief for you a burden? Oh, that we may receive faith. Faith. How does a man get faith? That is true saving faith. Because there are millions in this world who profess a faith by which they have never actually entered into that rest. A faith which is to them actually of no profit. If we are laboring to get faith, if we are laboring to get it by some power that we perceive to be in ourselves, then congregation, we are going to miss it. We are going to miss it. It cannot be otherwise, because God declares it in His own word to be a gift. Thus, it is an absolutely futile and worthless effort to try to get faith through some power of our own. That is the Arminian error, and it is deceit. That is an error which does not acknowledge our weakness. It is an error that does not acknowledge how deeply that we have fallen, and that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. It is an error that does not acknowledge the necessity of the Holy Spirit to give unto us that faith. Oh, children, it really is so simple. Where does faith come from? Oh, it is, you say, it is a gift. Who can give it to you? You say, only the Lord. Well, is that not simple? There you must go for it. There you must go for it. Is that hard? Oh. What is now our first labor? The Apostle Paul, he says, let us labor therefore. What is our first labor? Our first labor, that is on our knees. That is on our knees. To acknowledge who we are. To acknowledge what we have done. That we are dead. And that we have thrown away all our ability and all our desire and all our life. That we are murderers of ourselves. That we are rebellers against God. To go on our knees. And to ask of Him who can give it to us for it. Let us labor, therefore, labor. Or are there people in our midst that labor upon their knees? Upon their knees? Jacob, we read, wrestled. Was that not labor? He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Let us labor therefore. Or in the first place with Him who is able to take away unbelief out of our heart and to give us true saving faith. In the second place, what can we read in the Word of God? I read this. So then, faith cometh by... Now we're going to have our answer, right, children? We're going to have our answer. Where can we get that faith from? Well, Paul says to the Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thus, now we know where it needs to come from. Now we know where the power is. Now we know who can give it unto us. Now we know where to go for it. And now we also know what the means are to receive it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, now we can do as that farmer, can we not? To set up, as it were, those conditions. What is it that the Lord is blessing in his word, in this world? That there may come faith? How can that seed be planted in the ground that I cannot make to grow? No. But what is now that labor that the Lord is requiring of each and every one of us? Oh, faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, do we labor, congregation? Do we labor? Do we search in that word of God that the Lord is blessing by the power of his Spirit in this world? Oh, we were probably more blessed when we had not so many books in the world. When the Bible was a little bit more alone amongst all the books in the world, we were probably more blessed then. Why? Then there was not such a distraction. Oh, probably more blessed when there was no internet. Then there was only the word of God. There were many other things, of course, yes. But, oh, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is, congregation, two things. There is the grace of faith, that is the in-being or the planting of faith, which we need in the first place, that we may come in the state of faith. And it is by coming in the state of faith that from the side of God, we actually enter into his rest that is in regeneration. However, it is there not experienced to be restful, but it is the opposite. That we dare receive an unrest. All that is in the implanting of faith, we will never lose it, children, never to the end of our life. It cannot be taken away. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not of yea and nay, but he is yea and nay. Amen. Oh, blessed are you when you may receive that faith that the Lord plants in that new birth, though it give you much unrest. Then there is the exercise of faith. And it is by the exercise of faith with its objects that man is beginning to experience that rest, that he is for his own self beginning to enter in unto that rest. The disciples, they said to the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. Oh, why? Oh, they desired more and more to enter into that rest. To experience that rest, ask God's children when they have once tasted what that rest is. If they are not asking the Lord, oh Lord, increase my faith. Increase it that I may enter into that rest. Why? Because they find faith so difficult. Difficult. Because there are so many things that stand in the way of faith. Therefore, the apostles, he says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us sing. 342, 1, 3, and 4. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. 1, 3, and 4 of 342. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Congregation, repentance, and faith, they are commanded, they are demanded of every single person that comes under the preaching of the Word of God. That hears, Paul says, that hears the Word preached. Repentance and faith. But there are steps in that faith. Because there are people, and it is much in the world in which we are living, they speak only and immediately about faith in Christ. A looking unto, a resting in Christ. That there is no other. Now we do not deny that is the ultimate, that is the what is experienced to be the saving act of faith. But there is much more. Much more. The Lord Jesus says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Thus, he made a distinction. Faith in God, faith in Christ. Thus, there are steps. And also, there are distinctions in the objects of faith. John Owen, he speaks about those steps. And he speaks about that faith that is enjoined unto man in the gospel. And he says that man is not commanded or invited to come to the highest steps of faith immediately. But there must be an object sufficient for faith to grasp onto, for faith to exercise itself. In other words, when we believe, then we believe something. Thus, faith always has an object. Then he speaks about those steps in faith. Listen, we will tell you what he says about the first object of faith. He said, the first thing that is enjoined unto man to believe is that salvation is not to be had in ourselves. That is first. That is the first object of our faith. What is that? That salvation is not to be had in ourselves. What is that? I think our children can tell. You say, that is my misery. That is right. That is my misery. That salvation is not to be had in myself. I am dead. Spiritually dead. Thus we hope to hear it further in this afternoon. Those three parts. Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And now, Owen, he says, that is first. That is first. And we are commanded, each and every one of us, to believe. Commanded to believe. That salvation that we stand in need of, that is not to be had in ourselves. Never has a man entered into God's rest who has not first come to believe by the Spirit of the Lord that salvation is not to be had in himself. But congregation, how difficult to get that faith. How difficult. No salvation in myself. What is standing in the way? There is a great big I that is standing in the way. How shall I ever get rid of that great big I? There is a broken covenant that is standing in the way of that faith. And we, the apostle says, that we actually are married unto that covenant. Listen. Know ye not, brethren, Paul, that's Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. The law has dominion. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And then Paul makes the application. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to what? The law. Dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What does Paul say? He says that law, that is our first husband. And now, as long as our first husband is alive, we cannot be remarried. We cannot have another husband. Because if that first husband is alive and we have another husband, then we are an adulteress. Thus, he uses that example. But, he says, if the first husband is dead, then you may be married to another man. Who is that other man? That is Christ. Christ. What first has to die then? What has to die? The law. The law. That means a man must become dead to the law first before that he can be married unto Christ. What does that mean? To die to the law. To die to the law means that I believe that there is no salvation to be had in myself by the works of the law. That is now the first object of faith. Congregation, that law has to be cut off. That way has to be cut off before that we will ever come to believe and to receive that rest that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, how much labor? How much labor to come to this? Because that is nothing else than a true self-denial. A true self-denial. When the Lord Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler, he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth up." The Lord Jesus, he says, "You must now go and sell it all. Sell it all." And what happened? He went away sorrowful, and we never read that he came back O congregation, in the gospel, then there is proclaimed to us a new and a living way. And that new and living way is directly opposed to my self-righteousness. Directly opposed. We are enemies of it. Enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to the Jews a stumbling block. He was to the Greeks foolishness. And you and I are such Jews and Greeks. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. How, children, how is the entrance to the narrow way? We read about the broad way and the narrow way. How is the entrance to that narrow way described? You say it is a straight gate. That is right. A straight gate. That means a very small. That means a very narrow gate. John Bunyan, he called it the wicket gate. That's the little door inside of a big door. Like we see them sometimes for a little cat. Tiny little door. Wicket gate. Say, why? Because there is no room in Christ. Oh, let God's people speak. Let God's people speak. Do you know what they will tell you? What is their experience? His grace that is as wide as the ocean. Wide as the ocean. Then they will say that if it is possible for me, it is possible for the whole wide world. Oh, there is room sufficient in that blood. Sufficient to wipe away the sin of the whole world. Why then a wicket gate? Why then a straight gate? Congregation, because nothing can enter in there of me, of you. That is the difficulty. That is the difficulty. And as soon as that difficulty is taken out of the way, oh, the Lord, then he will show, then he will reveal his only begotten Son. And then, oh, you will enter into that rest. Then you will experience a little bit of what that rest is. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. To enter in, that is a difficult thing. Why? Oh, because it is difficult, congregation, to deny myself. Even if our spirit is willing, our flesh is weak. Peter, he says, Lord, I am ready to die with thee. But the practice was different. Practice was different. Oh, it is difficult to deny ourselves. It is very difficult to take up my cross cheerfully. Difficult to take cheerfully affliction, trial, persecution. My flesh rebels. Difficult. It takes labor. Let us labor, therefore. It is difficult to deny the sinful inclinations of my corrupt will. To forego all my lusts. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Is that difficult? It is very difficult. The Lord Jesus, he says, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. That is, it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than to be cast into hell fire. Does your eye offend you? Oh, congregation, how many of us would have to do without eyes? Job, he said, young people, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Are you ready to pluck them out? That you will not sin? There was a man. He one time had a disease. He had to make a choice whether he lose his eyes or his ears, his sight or his hearing. What would you choose? He chose his sight. He said, I sin more with my eyes than I sin with my ears. Thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Cut it off. How many useful things? How many lawful things in our lives? Oh, we are not people who cut off our right hands and pluck out our right eyes. No. How many things are lawful? How many things we say that is useful for this life? But they are hindering us from entering in. We don't want to labor. We want to spare ourselves. Oh, congregation, how lazy is our wish. You say, yes, I also want to enter into that rest. Oh, is that so? How earnest is our desire to enter into that rest? Are we willing to part with all that the Lord may say to us we have to part with in order that we may enter into his rest? Bunyan, he says, Mr. Worldly Wise Man, his advice, that is, go to the city of morality, just be civil, live a civil life. That's consistent with your fallen nature, not too difficult. You can be happy. You don't have to have that burden on your back. It is a lie. That city of morality that lies close to that city of destruction. And it is destroyed along with that city of destruction. No, it is not easy to crucify our flesh and to rid ourselves of our secret lusts. They are giants for us. Giants that do hinder us from entering into God's rest. There is a triple-headed enemy, Satan, world, our own flesh. Oh, Satan, he does not want to give up his subjects. But congregation, we read the Lord, he appears unto the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. You can read it when you go home. And then he speaks, he gives a message unto the seven churches. And he gives them encouragement. How does he encourage them? He speaks about him that overcometh him. He says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. He that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. He that overcometh, I shall give to him to inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But he says this, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Congregation, Joshua and Caleb, when the other spies, they spoke about the giants, then we read that Joshua and Caleb, they stilled the people. They said, do not be afraid of those giants. No, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Oh, did he say we are able to overcome it in our own strength, that they had power in their own strength? Oh, no. He says, only let us not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. It is an exceeding good land, they said. If the Lord delight in us, he will give it unto us and make us to possess it. He will bring us into that land. For it is a land that flows with milk and honey. O congregation, God's rest. It is an exceeding good land. It is an exceeding good land. Oh, ask God's people sometime to speak about that land. To speak once about that rest. Then you will hear them say what that rest is. An exceeding good land. Oh, if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into that land. And he will give it unto us. A land flowing with milk and honey. Only let us not rebel against the Lord. Let us labor, therefore, labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who is sufficient for these things? Oh, what a difficult matter. Stir us up, Lord. Waken us up from our death sleep. For we are traveling week by week to a never-ending eternity. Oh, what shall it be to stand together at that great judgment seat of thee, after having heard thy holy word. Oh, come thou, and thou who hast all the power, grant it unto us in thy mercy. Bring us safely to our places, and with desire to gather in this afternoon, help him that will go before us. Forgive all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 321 through 4. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 1 through 4 of 320. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.